You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Hey everybody, it's Derek of Screen Heroes. Just a quick little announcement. We had a technical hiccup with Ray's audio for the first 7 minutes or so of the episode. You can hear her. It just is going to sound pretty rough and bad with some white background noise and everything because I had to amplify it up. But it's there and you can hear her. We take a break at around the 7-ish minute mark. And when we get back from that, her audio is fine. So I'm sorry for that little glitch, but hopefully you can push through those first couple of minutes and enjoy this week's episode. Let's get to it.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Screen Heroes. My name is Ray. I am with Derek and Ryan.
Hello.
Hi.
And we are here to discuss another bad movie, and this time it is Batman and Robin, the 1990s classic, which puts Batman in the dirt for quite some time.
Rightfully so. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. The bad movie review is bad.
Yes.
But before we do that, of course, we're going to talk news, entertainment, movies, superhero news, and go. Newsify me.
Newsify you?
Yeah.
Is that a sex thing?
No.
Oh.
It's you know, getting close to the holiday season. I'm just going to start talking in Dr. Seuss terms.
Oh, okay. That's just how it's going to happen. She does do that every year.
Okay. All right. So news stuff. I guess we'll start with, we'll end with DC and then I'll segue nicely into our review.
Thanks for outlining that.
How you organize the news. Like, I really appreciate it. It's actually really cute that you do that.
All right. So, if you're not careful, I'll do the box office conversation.
Please
I know
don't.
You won't be happy about that. So
I will walk out right now.
Okay. So first stuff, Marvel news. It was kind of slipped that Robert Downey Jr. will be reprising his role as Tony Stark, voice only, in the What If animated series coming to Disney Plus.
Fingers crossed it's the zombie one. you think he gets another, like, 100 mil for it?
No. Not for voice acting.
No. Not voice acting for a cartoon on Disney Plus.
Like that when asked that, both of you kind of hesitated for a second, and then you're like, now let's shoot her down. Like,
yeah, let's give her hope for a few seconds.
No. So it's kind of funny. Like, yeah, it's a totally different kind of thing, right? The What If series is the hypothetical show of, you know, alternate possibilities. So it's not like Tony Stark's alive again in the main MCU timeline, but it is funny how he's been dead for 6 months and he's back.
Well, by the time that comes out, it'll have been over a year, but yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I mean, if you think about it, they said they're doing a What If episode for every Marvel movie, or every something
yes.
like that.
Yeah.
So of course he's going to be back. You think they're going to do a What If with all three Iron Man movies with no Iron Man? Right. Like,
to be totally honest with you, it did not occur to me that they would just get all of the same actors.
They
back
said they were
to
going to.
I must have missed that. I didn't know they were doing that because that seems like kind of a big undertaking. You know, just like logistically to get all of them.
Voice work they can do at their own.
Yeah, they can do it anywhere. They don't have to go. They
that's,
just have to go
true.
To a recording studio.
That's definitely true.
So it's much easier than trying to organize like Endgame when you have the funeral scene and spoiler alert, I guess, and you have every actor actually on set.
Additional Marvel MCU news. We may have a female Loki for the Loki show.
Yeah, so they cast an unknown role and beautiful female actress. I don't know too much about
Sophia DiMartino from
okay.
Yesterday. Which was the Beatles fantasy sort of mm-hmm. indie flick over the summer.
So she was cast, and speculation is that she might be the female Loki, and I actually think that's a really cool storyline if they go with it.
It's a neat idea. I mean, we don't know. Like the quote is literally a source. Let me get it. I want to say it the correct source close to the production. And then has hinted that she'll be playing the female version of Loki. So
there's a cool storyline in the comics. It was based off of a story in Greek myth. So, you know, it's not some kind of PC woke shit, whatever. There's precedent in multiple cases of literature here. So it's just one storyline.
Mm-hmm. It's a cool idea. I mean, we don't know much about the show. We know that it will tie in somewhat to Doctor Strange 2. We know that it'll see Loki traveling across the timeline that we know and seeing alternate takes on things. So
in multiple realms.
Right.
He's not supposed to be just in Earth or Asgard.
Yeah, I mean, it's even not knowing anything about the Loki story, you know, the multiverse theory of multiverse says that, you know, there's going to be female Lokis, there's going to be male Lokis, yeah. There's going to be alien Lokis, there's going to be, of course, Loki is, you know, frost giant or blood or whatever. But yeah, so I mean, it doesn't bother me at all, but I'm sure there's the red pillars out there that are going to be like, oh, well, woke, you know, we need more women to take all the roles. You know, that whole thing. But I'm sure it's just they're going to follow a cool storyline from the comic books, and that's probably about it. Mm-hmm. Just like the Jane Foster Thor that they're going to do. I mean, right. Come on.
There's already comic precedent.
Exactly.
Anything else for Marvel news? I think that was pretty much it. If we move on, then...
Runaways is ending.
Yeah. That's not really surprising to me.
It means that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the last running show for Marvel TV.
Yep.
That seems fitting.
It weathered the storm.
It was the first.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
I think that's great.
It's the last to survive, but it's also the longest running, with I think the seventh season is going to be the last season. So.
And it, I mean, I know that it didn't tie in super close to the movies, but it tied in more than any of the others did.
Well, once they decided to give up on that, and
it got better.
They became greater than the sum of their parts. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's when it really took off.
The idea of a show of the background S.H.I.E.L.D. agents is kind of boring. So the first season had its issues, and it was boring in places.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that they were able to just kind of put stuff aside and really develop their characters, because, I mean, Coulson and May and Quake, like, they all became so much more than what they started.
And season 5 of that show, I still maintain, might be the best season of any TV show I've ever watched. It's just everything for me. So, yeah, it was very good. But, yep, it's going to be the last survivor.
So, real quick, there's just a technical hiccup, so we have to take a short break, but we will be right back.
Right, so we need to do a promo. So, Derek's been harassing us for weeks now. Yeah. So, we should mention we're part of the Heroes Podcast Network.
Yeah.
UKKaiju.com. Yeah, UKKaiju.com is our home site.
Oh, we should mention that we like monsters.
Yeah. That's really good. But what's a monster? Well, we call it kaiju.
Okay.
Strange beast.
Strange beast.
Usually a guy in a rubber suit.
See what we did there. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a Facebook group, UK Kaiju fans, right?
That's good. Yeah, yeah.
We've mentioned we're part of the Heroes Podcast now.
The Twitter thingy.
Yeah, at UK Kaiju. We'll do that too. Heroespodcast.com. Mm. That's where you find it. What else should we mention?
We like toys.
Oh, yeah, we do toy reviews and game reviews and stuff. We should mention that. Books, yeah, we read books. You know, we are adults.
Boys and their toys.
Hush, Paul. Do we mention that we get off topic? Nah. All right, so let's record this thing.
Okay, sorry about that, everybody. Just a little microphone issue, but we are back. So moving on from Marvel news, Ryan, do you want to talk a little bit about Nicolas Cage and his upcoming project?
Yeah, Nicolas Cage is playing Nicolas Cage in a Nicolas Cage movie. It's basically the cagiest thing that has ever caged. It's going to be amazing. Let's just get real.
You've already bought tickets.
Yeah, I've already bought tickets. And now if he was just the directing and producing it also, then I would be... That's the only way I could be more excited, I think, for it.
I actually hope there's a musical number and he sings.
It would be amazing. Or that he grows long hair and just, like, lets it blow in the wind while looking at the camera for a few minutes. You know?
Well, you know, a wig might work, just like it did in Con Air.
Yeah, you know. I mean, that was his real hair, Rachel. Let's get real. I mean, it was very believable, so.
That was a taupe.
That was definitely his real hair.
Yeah, thank you, Derek.
How dare you, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's the cagiest thing to ever cage, and I'm pretty excited for it, yeah.
What do you think the odds are they call it the cagining?
Not good.
None.
That's a shame.
I hope they just call it cage.
Just call it cage. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and I hope it's in the MCU also.
I hope all the catchphrases for it are like, step into the cage. And
oh, that'd
like...
be okay, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of in the worlds of DC because every possible timeline is in the multiverse, right? So there you go.
Perfect.
Yeah. Are you segueing to DC news?
Yes. I am.
No, you're not. Stop it.
I am. We're going to talk about Crisis on Infinite Earths. So we got a picture, an actual photograph of Kevin Conroy like
as Bruce Wayne.
As Bruce Wayne. And it appears that he's wearing the Batman mech suit from Kingdom Come.
Yes, that's what everybody is kind of pointing out. So hopefully we're right. But, you know, there's always a chance they could pull one.
So we know we have Kingdom Come Superman, right? And so if this verifies that he's going to be Kingdom Come Batman, then it makes me wonder if Linda Carter is going to be Kingdom Come Wonder Woman.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
Derek just got really excited. But having the whole Trinity would make sense. Well, you know.
But part of the issue there is, like, so they cast Tom Welling. Not Tom Welling, Brandon Routh as Kingdom Come Superman. I keep doing that. Brandon Routh is playing the Kingdom Come Superman because Superman doesn't age like Batman does. But Wonder Woman wouldn't age like that either, right? She would still be younger. So I don't know if Linda Carter's the right age for that character.
Maybe Burt Ward will do it.
That's right.
Burt Ward will be Kingdom Come Wonder Woman?
Yeah, you heard me. You heard me.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
Make it happen, cowards.
So
they did confirm that the weird connection that this is actually Christopher Reeve's Superman as Kingdom Come Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess in Superman Returns, Brandon Routh was playing Christopher Reeve.
He was
Superman.
Yeah.
And this is the same Superman from that movie.
Okay.
Yeah, they confirmed that. So
he's playing the same character then, yes. Same version. Because okay. So Superman Returns is a sequel to Superman 2. Because they would try, it was probably the first real attempt to try and erase sequels from a franchise timeline. I don't know if that's technically the case or not.
The thing Bryan Singer likes to do.
But yeah, but that is interesting. I didn't know that this.
Yeah, I can't remember who said it. Greg Berlanti or one of the showrunners said it.
That's cool. I'm okay with that. Of Superman,
it doesn't
Returns,
really affect anything. It's just a good way of like bringing it all the way back to the original Superman movies. You know,
I've always said that Brandon Routh was probably the best part of Superman Returns, and certainly not the problem.
Yeah.
With that movie.
No, there's a lot of problems. Like, why are you going to start with Superman being a deadbeat dad? Like, that's not cool.
And lifting an island of kryptonite.
God,
that was so bad.
Everything was pretty boring about that. Like, why did you make it into a really non-chemistry-filled romance movie?
Anyway,
yeesh.
We have a different DC movie to talk about this evening.
Yeah.
Any other news you guys want to cover then before we go into our main topic?
I do, and I told you about it in our chat earlier today, and I think we should talk about it. So November has kind of struggled with movies this month.
You do want to do the box office thing?
Not exactly.
Oh, okay.
Not exactly. This is not a numbers game. Stop it. I just want to say that Elizabeth Banks has been interviewed and she's really passionate about Charlie's Angels. So the thing she is saying is coming off very angry and I don't know if it's correct or not. So everybody who has listened to this podcast probably knows I'm a super big feminist and that I'm all for representation and diversity. And currently she is blaming the failure of Charlie's Angels at the box office on men who do not like to see women in action roles. And while I agree that there is a chunk of men out there that don't like it, I don't think that's why Charlie's Angels failed. And it's because there's so many other movies currently in November that are failing. They're just straight up flopping. Dr. Sleep flopped and
Terminator Dark Fate flopped in the previous month.
Gemini Man
flopped.
Yeah.
Those two would be considered much larger flops financially than Charlie's Angels just because of their budget.
Honestly, I hadn't even realized that Charlie's Angels had come out.
Right.
So I think it was their marketing team is part of the problem.
I absolutely think it's marketing for one. Two, I think it's also their cast. Now, nothing against the three women that cast as Charlie's Angels, but I don't think any of them are giant household names. I think if they had put Elizabeth Banks and Patrick Stewart more up front for the press junket and posters and stuff, it might have been better. But the reason why the Charlie's Angels movies in the late 90s, early 2000s were so successful was because everybody knew Drew Barrymore, Lucy Liu, and Cameron Diaz at the time. And the trailers that they showed were everywhere. They were in front of every movie. They were on TV. And even though the web was still kind of new, they had online ads too. So the marketing was in your face. And the three actresses were front and center actresses. They were all very popular. So I actually think that's why Charlie's Angels kind of bombed. Now, there is a huge dip in box office lately. And I don't think that all the movies are suffering from the same thing. But I would be very interested to see what they all have in common to find out why. But I honestly think the major cause is streaming. I think there's so much content at home. Why leave to pay more money for a lot of stuff? I mean, I think smaller movies are probably having a worse go of it.
I wouldn't say it's streaming, because in general, the year was really good. It's actually this past couple of weeks where things have started to falter. And I think with Gemini Man, you had a problem of a plot that didn't seem too interesting and a new technology most people don't care about. And so you were only really going to see Will Smith. And if that wasn't interesting to you, then you weren't going to go. And then with Terminator, you have a problem where Genesis was panned by everyone. Fans, critics, nobody liked Genesis. And bringing back Schwarzenegger again probably made people feel like this is just a continuation of that kind of film. So people didn't go see it. Right? It's that effect of the previous film being bad, so people don't go see the next one. Mm-hmm. It's why sometimes a bad movie does incredibly well because it came after a really good one, right? We've seen that effect too. And I think in this case, it is the lack of the star power, right? Because, you know, as you mentioned, you had three A-list women actors plus Bill Murray, who tons of people will just go see a Bill Murray movie.
Yeah.
Right. And in this one, while I love Patrick Stewart, he's minimized in the trailers, and I like Elizabeth Banks a lot, she's not one of the leads, and I don't know that she draws a crowd like Bill Murray did.
No.
Right? And then you have three actors who are less well-known, right? And that's going to be a big problem on top of the marketing. I just think people are not as interested in that franchise anymore, you know, because people forget that it was a show.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how many people today remember that that actually was a thing?
I absolutely love that every like 10 years or so they try to update it and reboot it a bit. But I really feel like the two movies that with Drew Barrymore came when they came out, they did so much interesting things with it. The characters were not one sided. They were multifaceted. They had many different interests and skills. And it was just kind of groundbreaking for feminine characters, whereas the newer TV show that was canceled after like three episodes and this movie here seems that it was just kind of one-sided. Like you had the badass and the hot one and the smart one and that was it. And I think we're all just kind of past one-sided characters.
And, you know, to be really fair, it's not like people went to go see anything else.
Right.
Ford and Ferrari took first place, but even they didn't make a fortune. They only made Ford versus Ferrari made $31 million its opening weekend. That's what won the box office. Midway came in second at 8.5, Charlie's Angels at 8.3. Like, nobody went to the movies this weekend. They did other things. Now, maybe that's the Mandalorian effect.
Disney right. Plus, Disney yeah, Plus. Right. Just a general.
Literally launched that week, and maybe that's what a lot of people were doing. I think that's very realistic, because you don't release a show like The Mandalorian on a regular, like, that doesn't happen very often that a show like that premieres.
Mm-hmm.
No, but it will be pretty regular when Marvel shows start coming out.
And it'll be interesting to see how they're scheduled and how that impacts stuff. This is kind of uncharted territory for that.
So, personal pet peeve here. This guy decided not to sign up for Disney Plus and to no longer watch any of the Marvel movies because he doesn't like that Feige said that you have to watch these shows to understand future movies. and like he's been just trashing Disney Plus and Marvel and Feige and everything. And then the past couple days, he's like, I refuse to pay for it. Tell me what's happening on The Mandalorian. And I'm like, fuck. Ah.
Listen, if you refuse to pay for something, there's a lot of other ways to view it. Let's get real.
And Disney's not hurting for money. If you pirate Disney stuff, I am not going to give two shits. I'm really not.
Well,
but like,
we do not advocate piracy.
Some of us don't.
We do not advocate piracy here on the Heroes Podcast Network.
Send me a tweet at RA24 and I'll tell you how to do it.
We really don't. But with that said, though, the idea of like, well, I'm not going to watch it, I'm going to make other people summarize it for me right? out of spite is pretty freaking silly.
Right.
Okay. Let's
this
be
guy
all, like,
is
everything
pretty
else aside.
Super shitty.
Right. Like, you know, I'm not going to go see the new Charlie's Angels, but I want a shot by shot explanation of what happened in the film.
I am a little disappointed that Charlie's Angels didn't do well because, well, obvious women led hero movies, but Kristen Stewart, I think, is one that has like the Twilight effect going on where people just assume she's a bad actress because she was in Twilight when she's actually a really pretty good actress. And Robert Pattinson has the same thing being cast as Batman. You know, everybody's like, well, the sparkly vampire guy. You know, they did a role in a movie that was written. Mm-hmm. They made a lot of money and it made their career. And all of them have shit talked those movies and agreed how bad they are. So, you know, give them a chance at something else. And so I hope that Robert Pattinson has a better, you know, showing than Kristen Stewart did. And I hope that she gets something, to bring her back.
Like, first and foremost, Taylor Lautner was the only bad actor to appear in those. Like, maybe some of the other...
There's a reason I didn't mention his name.
The side characters in the background. Like, I don't know what the other vampire family was doing, but they were kind of useless. But, like, Michael fucking Sheen was in those movies. Michael Sheen. Like, that dude is an acting legend. Like, he is so good.
Well, I think a lot of the vampire family was actually like pretty big, decent, big name actors.
Not the immediate family, but
the dad wasn't the dad like somebody?
Peter Facinelli.
Yeah. And then wasn't Anna Kendrick or somebody?
Anna Kendrick's in that movie.
Yeah.
Dakota Fanning's in those movies.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that. I actually have never seen them.
I watched the first few.
I don't think you
not
should.
Not by choice.
Three,
I think
you should do it sober.
Three.
I really
don't. Fine. But like, let's just put aside the fact for a moment that anybody who isn't an actor, who wants to be an actor, who's turning down that role?
Especially a role that probably will blossom into multiple movies because it's a whole book series.
So don't pretend for a minute that if you're an aspiring actor and you hadn't had your break yet, that you would have like skipped that movie.
Like, it's it's a hit or miss kind of thing. Like, the Divergent book series is huge, sold millions of copies. The Divergent movies went from like one successful, second kind of,
well, I mean,
okay,
like the Golden Compass, wasn't that a book series too?
It was,
and
yeah.
Then,
well, that's his Darkest Materials.
Okay,
yeah.
And
that movie that was made in the early 2000s did
Hunger
horribly.
Games, like that. You know, that one was did really well. So
those did amazing.
Yeah, it's really hit or miss as to whether you get a good one or not. Twilight, though critically panned, did very well for the most part.
I mean,
but it is important that, like, when you're swapping out Cameron Diaz, Drew Barrymore, and Lucy Liu for the largest name of the three is Naomi Scott.
No, Kristen Stewart's
a bigger name.
It's more recognizable.
Maybe more recognizable, but draws ticket sales. Because she,
I don't think any of the three of them draw ticket sales,
Jasmine,
honestly.
I think that probably got some people to go see her. Like, she
I wouldn't have been able to tell you that.
But you also didn't go see Aladdin. That's not for you, right? But if you,
like,
if
I'm not denying
person,
that Jasmine was a big role. But
she was also Power Ranger.
I don't think people are like have her name associated with those characters
yet. No, but her face is. That's all I meant.
Did you see her face in any advertising leading up to this movie? I saw posters.
She's the lead in the trailers.
I don't even know if I saw a trailer, to be honest with you.
I mean, that's fine. That's who they were focusing on in the marketing material that they did produce. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
One bit of DC news we didn't cover is that we did get a release date for Black Adam. The Rock released the release date.
2021?
Yeah, like December something 2021. Yeah, it's cool. We have so many DC movies.
Oh, and Andy Serkis was confirmed as Alfred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there was a good amount of DC news. Mm-hmm. The Black Adam is a pretty big one because I think that means we have three DC movies in the latter half of 2021.
I expect something to put to push or pull forward from that standpoint.
That's a lot.
But 2021 is not going to be an easy year for moviegoers, because that's when Marvel kicks things back up. And they're doing 4 a year, and DC's going to have 3.
In like 6 months.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult to keep up.
Which one do you think they should push?
Well, I think they should keep with 3. I think they should just spread them out and do one every 4 months or one every
You think they should do 3 for the full year?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they should shove them all in 6 months, cuz I think at that point, if you have at least one successful one, is box office is going to eat into the rest, like if it has a 7 or 8 week run.
I don't understand how the Suicide Squad is still a 2021 release. It's been filming. Some actors are done filming. I don't know how that's not.
Well, yeah, because they died. Not in real life, just on set.
Right. But
some might have died in real life. I don't know.
My point, though, is like it's in production now and it's coming out in 2 years. Like that just doesn't make any sense.
But the Batman isn't even in production yet, really. It's in pre-production and it's supposed to be coming out then. So.
Right. So that's why I'm saying I think they're going to pull forward the Suicide Squad, and we will see that either late 2020 or we'll see that early 2021, maybe March timeframe like Shazam.
Yeah.
I wonder when does Shazam 2 come out? I know we got a date for that. Isn't it like early 2022?
We got a date for Aquaman 2 as well.
Yeah. I think like within a year, we get like 4 or 5 DC movies.
Because Patrick Wilson confirmed that he's King Orm again, or Prince Orm, I guess. He's not king. But
yeah, because I feel like Shazam and Black Adam are within like 6 months of each other, which will be interesting. Which means I bet you Shazam shows up in the post-credit scene of Black Adam.
Right.
At a minimum, yeah.
Yeah. He's got to be there somehow because they want to connect the two. But yeah, so Andy Serkis is as Alfred in the Batman. What do you think of that?
I actually think that's pretty good. And it's exciting because Andy Serkis's characters, I've never seen him play the same thing twice that wasn't like within the same franchise. Like, of course, he was Caesar and Gollum and stuff multiple times. But each character is astronomically different than the previous one. And he's like just in a league of his own with acting. So I think he's going to bring a completely new take on what could be a very familiar tropey character.
What type of Alfred do you hope he is? Do you hope he's like more the Gotham Alfred where he's like a badass?
I don't like the hardened Alfred that Sean Pertwee always was. He had his moments. He wasn't a bad actor whatsoever.
It was just a different Alfred.
Right. I really hope that it's a good mix of the comforting father figure versus the Secret Service badass. And I thought we got that in the animated TV show. So if it's something like that, that would be really cool. I always felt that Michael Caine's Alfred was like hiding something very sinister, and they proved that in the second one where they were like, I burnt down the whole forest, like killed so many people.
I think that a good mix would be good, but I think that they're trying to do things that we haven't seen in the movies before. And we've seen like the doting father figure type Alfred in almost every Batman movie so far, so I kind of hope that they do the Sean Pertwee style like Secret Service Alfred that is not scared to throw down with you know anybody, and he doesn't take Bruce's crap.
I still maintain Jeremy Irons was like pretty good, but never saw his like full potential.
We just didn't get to see any of him, really. It made it tough.
That's why part of me thinks, since we don't really know when the Batman takes place, that maybe Andy Serkis is playing a younger version of that Alfred.
Mean, he and Jeremy Irons are not that different in age. So.
No, but who is Andy Serkis the king? Like, what is he the king of? I mean, mocap, right? So it's not like they couldn't de-age him and they just haven't announced
that.
Why
did, like, my
case.
Head immediately go to, like, New York? Like, but, what are we looking for here?
You know what I mean? Like, so we don't know enough about the Batman for me to really have an idea if that makes sense or not. But if you're gonna de-age an actor, he's a pretty good choice.
Yeah.
So that would just be my thought on that. Shazam 2. They were both a lightning bolt. Shazam 2 does not have an official release date yet.
Okay.
They're supposed to start production in the summer of 2020 is what they're supposed to do.
So it's probably an early 2022 movie or late 2021, but we know they're not going to put it with those other three movies.
So my thought is, so the Batman is June 25th, 2021. The Suicide Squad's August 6th and Black Adam's December 22nd. So my assumption is that they're going to pull the Suicide Squad up to like March.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Those are really close between the Batman and Suicide Squad movies. So
if you pull it back until like early March, then you actually help the gap too, because Wonder Woman is June 5th of 2020. And then that's the end of DC for
until June. Yeah.
Right. So that's, I think if you pull something back to early March, you help fill that gap a little bit. And the Suicide Squad, I feel like it's got to be done by then.
And to Rachel's point, if the Batman does pretty well, then it has an 8-week run, then it's going to run right into Suicide Squad. And, you know,
they never want to compete with each other. Like Captain Marvel and Endgame kind of had that problem for a little bit. People were still seeing Captain Marvel when Endgame came out.
People were still seeing Endgame when Spider-Man came out. So, you know.
They've overlapped this year. And I definitely think that at least one of those movies will overlap.
It's more likely going to be Batman into Suicide Squad, if anything, because those are the closest two. But
of course, The Flash is still slated for 2021, and we all know that's not happening. No. So,
well, because so is Fantastic Beasts. So,
and there's no Green Lantern Corps movie, so don't worry about that.
No, but really we'll get that Green Lantern TV show with Diggle, I'm sure.
Sure, yeah, totally.
I'm really hoping the next Fantastic Beasts movie is called The Bastardization of the Dumbledore Family Tree.
I really hope it's called the end of Harry Potter movies for at least another decade.
No, but they're making the Cursed Child into a film with the original cast.
I like how we're saying it, cursed.
Well, that's how they say it.
I know, because they're British. Cursed.
Right, not like, to them, not to the
who's
author.
Them?
Well, in this case, it's J.K. Rowling. It's her series, her franchise.
Rowling. She makes a joke about her name, like rolling down hills and... Okay. It's rolling.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk Batman and Robin. We're not going to take a break.
We already did that earlier. Yeah.
Did that.
Let's do it.
Okay. So what is your favorite part about this movie?
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Genuinely. Like, you're not being sarcastic. Okay. Why?
Because his character embodies the sheer silliness of the film. He knows it's funny. He's enjoying how funny it is. And he's 100% in on how ridiculous it is. Everybody else takes the movie very seriously.
Ryan.
You kind of put me on the spot here. I mean, there's not much good about this movie.
Right. We know. It's called bad movie reviews for a reason.
I think if I had to pick something, I would probably say the costume design might be the best part for me, but only in specific instances, because in others it was not good. But like, when you look at the bat suit, just the one he wears for most of the movie, sans nipples, that's a really cool suit. And same with the Robin suit. I even as a kid was like, man, that's a really cool suit. If they just got rid of the nipples. But the cowl is cool, the suit is really neat, the belt is cool. Even though there's a few scenes, you know, now that I make Batman cowls, you know, I can see like the cowl flexing out sometimes where it doesn't quite fit his head right, which makes me wonder what happened there, if he gained or lost weight or something around the time they made it. But
he didn't hold still during the live cast.
I don't know what happened, but there was definitely some gaps in the cowl.
Maybe
there,
he had to wear Val Kilmer's, you know.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I haven't looked at them.
They're not the same, but they are similar. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they used Val Kilmer's life cast, and George Clooney was a last minute recast or something for it. But like Poison Ivy was, people give her a lot of crap, but it's not a terrible design. It's just very simple.
Her outfit, she wears like four or five different costumes in that movie that are legit Poison Ivy ones, and not gloves. Pamela Isley. But they're all pretty phenomenal from head to toe. They're really well thought out. Like
the gloves with like the orange tips on the fingers, that bothered me so much.
I didn't like those as much. I don't, now that I'm like a cosplayer, I don't like pieces that aren't very functional, and her hands would be completely useless in those gloves. So yeah, that bothered me too. But,
well, keep in mind when the movie was made, touchscreens weren't a concern. Everything was buttons. Well, no, I'm serious though. What would that have stopped a person in 1997 from doing?
You've worn gloves for cosplays. You know you're pretty useless in them.
Because everything we use now is a touchscreen. Then she could have dialed a phone and she could have typed on a computer and there wouldn't have been any problems. That's
okay. All right. Anyway, yeah, Poison Ivy looks really good. Head to toe is like pretty amazing. The wigs are, I kept looking for the wig line or for any movement because it had to be really heavy because they had so many extensions and additions to it. And It just didn't.
It was very good. Yeah, the costuming did not drop the ball on the movie.
Mr. Freeze, man, like, that is an insane costume.
So, so our friend John went to San Diego Comic-Con this year, and they had a History of Batman exhibit there that had all the screen-used bat suits on display. It had a lot of the villain suits, including the Mr. Freeze costume. And he said, even up close and in person, it is just beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of costumes where you get up close and it's not beautiful. It looks great in the movie. But yeah, he said that thing is just gorgeous, and it's your real work. When you see, look at pictures of the behind the scenes and things like that, it's a real piece of engineering. It's a cool suit, so to speak.
We were looking real quick before we started. The budget for this was $125 million, which is $25 million higher than Batman Forever, which was the film before this.
And
we know
they got George Clooney cheaper than they got Val Kilmer.
Yes, because at the time, he was coming off of like Roseanne and ER. He was a TV actor. Yeah. He had maybe done a couple films, but nothing like high profile. He hadn't won his Oscar yet.
Now, I'm sure Schwarzenegger made a decent amount because that was kind of his heyday.
He was the highest billed too.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, that was super weird. I never noticed that before, but rewatching this, seeing a Batman movie where Schwarzenegger is the top billed in the opening credits, that was weird.
Yeah.
So
Silverstone was also very popular around this time.
She was,
and, you know, she came off of Clueless and
quite a few other.
What was
the
one with the like black and white movie? I can't remember the name
of
that one.
She wasn't in that one.
Wasn't she? Was
she was not. That was Reese Witherspoon.
Was it? No, there was one. I thought there was one she was in. Oh, it had Brendan Fraser.
Blast from the Past.
Yeah, that was Alicia Silverstone, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about Pleasantville. Yeah. Okay, so.
Well, I had a quick question.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
So we were talking about the costumes and stuff, and I was just curious what your guys' thoughts were on the, I guess, the ice suits that the good guys change into at the very end with the silver.
So that it was totally a throwback to the animated series for me, because like they started getting weirder with his suits and he started doing more stuff. And I like how the Lego video games kind of parodied it later on. But like story-wise, it makes no damn sense. They had zero time between leaving and changing their one outfit to another. So that always bothered me. Even as a kid, I was like, no, you didn't put on that suit just now.
But what do you think of the design? Did you like it? Did you not like it?
I like that they all matched together. Them standing next to each other was very cool looking. But I still don't think it is very Batman-like or practical or just all that impressive. But
yeah,
that's me.
Taken out of context on its own, not thinking that this is Batman, it's just a superhero suit. It's very cool. But it doesn't make any sense in the context of, even in the movie. Like, there's no time that they would have made it.
It's weird.
Yeah, like, why would Batman have a white or a suit with bright silver on it, you know, or anything like that? It just doesn't make any sense, you know, for me. But it is a cool design. Sure,
with you guys. I just wasn't sure, because those suits were used in a lot of the promotional marketing material, mm-hmm. even though they only show up in, like, the last 15 minutes or whatever. So I thought maybe it was just me who thought they made no sense and were out of place. Because to your point earlier, I think the suits they have are pretty damn good suits.
Yeah, there's actually some of the better Batman suits. Like, they really are. Sans nipples again.
Well, right. Yes. Yeah. Do the ice ones have the nipples too? I can't remember.
Yes,
okay.
They do.
Yeah.
So when
except
I watched
Batgirls, of course.
When I watched this movie now, knowing what I know, it was so obvious that they were just trying to do as many things that would make a toy as possible.
Yeah.
And that suit was part of it, right?
Well, sure. Yeah, you know, could sell two different.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that is more than two, even though there's only two suits. But yeah, it was unbelievable. Like, every scene, there was like, oh, there's skateboarding on a door, Batman and Robin, that they can sell now. There's Frozen Robin with Batman with Frozen Robin accessory. There's, you know, all these Bat gadgets. It was just so obvious.
Freeze's tank drill thing.
Yes.
And it's rocket.
And it's rocket.
And
yep.
His gun and the telescope. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everything was designed to be a toy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a lot of the actual design of those things was for toys. Like his ship or his vehicle, whatever it was. That's a very simple shape that they can easily make in China and put in Happy Meals or whatever, you know? So it's so obvious.
The one that really stuck out to me as, like, this was only for a toy and it serves no purpose was the weird vehicle that Robin's riding in the ice suit at the very end. Batman's in the Batmobile, and Batgirl is on a motorcycle. He is riding what looks like a combo of those big wind boats that they use down in Florida on the swamps and a Zamboni.
Yeah.
And it is like it has a windshield in the back, but not in the front. And it's
made to be a toy.
It is a weird looking vehicle. Like, I do not have a title for it at all, but I was like,
well, even wrong. Like the observatory is designed to be a toy set, right? Like, I know that had to have been a toy that people had where it like would open up or whatever, and you could have different levels for them.
Well,
to
even
fight on.
Gotham was designed to be a toy. Like, if you look at these huge, like, human shaped statues, and so, like, what's the point of those? Where did those come from, right?
This was the very first time I'd watched the movie, and I noticed that it was a very male objectifying gaze.
Oh, yes.
Like, people had said,
well, in the first 5 seconds, right?
Yep.
You get crotch shots, you get butt shots.
That's how it opens. Like, it just, you are staring at the male body for just way too long. All the statues in the background are male, and they're all naked.
Yep.
And it was crazy.
The director,
Birdman's wonderful, by the way.
The director...
that was a question in chat, for those who are listening to this.
Birdman's
later.
Great.
The director actually caught a lot of flack for that, being, I believe he's a gay man.
He is,
and mostly less for the nipples, although a lot of people didn't like that design point, but the crotches being very... gratuitous, maybe.
I mean, you get a pretty good look at Alicia Silverstone too when she finally suits
right.
up.
Right, they do the exact same thing with her. The only difference is her suits do not have nipples.
Well, I was talking more about the design and the way like the actual suit is shaped
pronounced.
In the crotch area. It's a very bulbous crotch.
I guess that's true.
Just watch Labyrinth.
But that was natural. This is like rubber enhanced crotch.
So like that was obvious to me as a kid, but now. Now in the background you're seeing like posters of strong men in the background, and they're like almost completely naked, and all the statues and everything. So I'm like, not only is it the two main guys being objectified, but it's just the males in the city. Like,
I just completely forgotten that that's how the movie even opened. So as soon as I started watching it, and it was literally just butt crotch. Crotch, like
nips,
chest,
abs. The nipples are just
weird.
You are
weird, so
though,
loud right now. You're like blowing out the mic.
I had to turn you down a couple of times.
Because you're so passionate about this.
The nipples just were confusing to me because they just make no sense.
That is our clip, by the way.
Out of context, that's a good clip. But I mean, male nipples are kind of confusing anyway. So
right? Like,
well,
they serve
true.
Zero
that's
purpose.
True. Maybe that. Do you think that was the point he was trying to make?
It's a much deeper message, yes.
Is Batman and Robin a heavily
an allegory?
Social allegory?
Yeah. I'm thinking probably not.
Cast light on the fact that women should also be able to have free nipples. Like,
but she
men.
Doesn't. Batgirl doesn't.
She doesn't, because that would be lewd. Derek.
Right, and this is still... I was shocked that this was PG-13. I want to know what happened in this movie that
we're killing Rachel slowly right now.
I want to know, and maybe you guys have an opinion on this. What in the movie pushed it to PG-13? Was it the bat nipples? Is that what did it? I mean,
the MPAA is just watching it, and they're like, you know, this is so enjoyable. I love toys, but like those nips.
I mean, I'm guessing it has something to do with Poison Ivy and like her seductive phrases. Because there was a good amount of that going on. There's something to be said for young and virile and in stamina. Let's get rid of the geezer.
She does mostly talk about sex.
Yeah.
That's
true.
So going back and watching this after like all these years, what was something that kind of surprised you that you had forgotten about or you were just registering for the first time?
That's easy for me.
Okay. No more nipple talk, guys. We're
no more nipple
past.
Talk. The complete... Oh, man. Okay, I don't know how to explain it. I guess the just physics that exist and also don't exist in this.
You're still shouting.
It's just so bad. Like, in that opening scene, for example, you see Robin's motorcycle literally float across the air for like 8 seconds.
Yes.
And then you also see it be heavy enough to slide along ice and generate sparks. What? Like,
what?
Batman's like, he does like a straight kick that goes like this, and there's no way anybody could not see it coming. Yeah, I mean, it's just so bad. I never know when the physics are going to apply. Sometimes they apply to the motorcycle when Robin can't make the jump, but then the Batmobile, which weighs 17 million pounds, could somehow make this jump.
I agree. I thought that was
hilarious.
It
probably has boosters.
Sure. I'm sure those rockets really make up for that.
We don't know that the motorcycle couldn't make the jump. We know that Bruce was being overprotective. See, that's a very important plot point.
What about the rest of them? Yes, Midnight Pearl sparks on ice all over this movie. Also, the physics of the ice. Why are they all like stalagmites from, you know, that's the reason that happens is because of it melting and the water dripping down and refreezing and forming a
What it means is
icicle.
Before anybody gets there, Freeze walks around
and
builds,
sprays water.
Yeah, and he
everywhere.
Builds these things to set the scene.
Gotcha.
You know, he's very thematic.
They just really knew what they wanted their ice to look like.
They did,
and
okay. Honestly, I remembered this movie pretty well because I had seen it so many times as a kid. So the things that surprised me were actually some of the actors I had forgotten were in this, like John Glover and Vivica A. Fox. Like, it's just kind of weird to see
Coolio.
Them.
Coolio? Did you remember Coolio? Coolio was actually, funny fact, he was supposed to play Scarecrow in the next Batman movie.
Hey, I said Scarecrow. We were kind of talking about what would have been good for the next one.
What we were talking about is how very obvious they wanted to make a fifth one.
Well, they did. They actually, like, when they first started watching test footage, or the dailies, that's what it's called. When execs started watching the dailies, they were so impressed, apparently, that they tried to hire the same screenwriter from this movie, and that screenwriter said nope, and so they gave it to somebody else.
Akiva Goldsmith. Who does Star Trek now and has done a lot of really amazing work over the years, wrote this movie.
And so they were ready to go with it, and then when they saw how bad the reception was, they
dropped it.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it didn't do great, that's for sure. What's interesting is the break between this one and the next movie, though, isn't really as long as it might feel. Right, so this was 97. Batman Begins was 2005. So they only waited 5 years
different.
Or so.
Well, the next Batman was supposed to come out in 99.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this was certainly a larger break than they had been doing. Right. But they really only waited 5 years to start making a new one and start over, which is not the kind of break you normally see when a franchise like actually bottoms out. You know?
Right. It's usually decades or something like that. I guess I was super surprised at how big of a slog it was. There are so many boring parts in this movie.
Just generally boring plot lines.
Yes, absolutely. I just did not care for so much of it. I even fell asleep for like 10, 15 minutes, to be completely honest. And
right before the big fight at the end of the movie.
No.
Yeah, you fell asleep for when Batgirl was suiting up.
Right, because there was a 20-minute scene of her coming up with a 3-letter password. Like, fuck me, man, that's awful.
The whole Alfred storyline for me just didn't resonate at all. It was boring.
My favorite part of it, the actual moments where Michael Gough and George Clooney were talking together, genuine acting. Like, I felt all the emotion in their words back and forth. Like, not when Batman was talking to Michael Gough, when it was Bruce Wayne and him discussing his childhood, his, you know, demeanor as an adult, and all that just seemed really genuine. And I was like, this could have been conversation and actual lines written for Christian Bale and Michael Caine or Ben Affleck and Jeremy Irons. Like, this is still good writing right here. So that was my favorite.
It has small moments where you can see that things could have been better.
But
it just kind of falls apart.
Bane is terrible.
Bane is awful. I don't even know why that is Bane. Why did that have to be Bane?
That actor's name is Jeep.
Cool.
Like the car
where you
company.
Never got to see him do anything. Like, you didn't even really get to see his face. You know, it was covered by a mask most of the time, and
I mean, the look was as spot on as they could probably do at the time, but there was nothing behind the character. He was so useless.
But he even had a weird crotch,
torso totally
thing
did.
That I mean, was enhancing his crotch.
The look does fit the rest of the film, and like, it looks like Bane, but the character is just so dumb.
It's the most accurate Bane we've had on screen, sadly.
Costume wise, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one thing this movie has going for it is we don't have to see Bruce's parents die again. They're just already dead.
Yeah, that's, well, that's
because
nice.
Isn't this supposed to be the same Batman from Michael Keaton's Batman? Yeah. Isn't this the same
it's
continuity?
Supposed to be the same one, yeah.
So we already saw that.
Well, you know, sometimes they repeat things.
I guess. I don't. It's funny that, like, this is supposed to be that Batman because Gotham doesn't look anything like it. Nope. I mean, there's nothing that even resembles that movie.
It went from this weird 1940s vibe to this underground rave full of...
Even though the cars kind of stay in a late 40s, early 50s style.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, like, Gotham is still in that time period, but it was completely redesigned. I don't know. It is super weird.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I want to like the movie because I liked it when I was, you know, 12 or 10, I guess, when this came out. I was 10. I want to like it because I liked it as a 10-year-old, but it's pretty tough. Freeze is still my favorite part of it. I still think his story is the most compelling one, and Schwarzenegger at least knew what it was.
See, I agree that Freeze's story is the most compelling one, but that's because there's no other compelling stories. And I feel like they dropped the ball with that story. It could have been so much more,
because
the movie was designed for six-year-olds, they didn't. Because, I mean, that whole they had all the pieces there. Mm-hmm. They covered it all. They just dropped the ball on it. And Mr. Freeze, for me, when I was watching it as an adult, it was more just annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Than anything else. Yeah. It's like nothing he couldn't speak without it being a joke of some kind or a pun. Oh,
that was the same for Ivy, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was annoying, too. Like, there were no good villains in this. And,
that's fair.
You know.
Wait, really, like, kind of takes me back now is it just shows a completely different world that, like, the stuff she is complaining about, as Pamela Isley, is stuff that, you know, we should have listened to those people back in the day kind of thing. Cause you know, now we're facing real damaging earth ending kind of climate change. And you know, she is saying that. And at this time, I don't think as many people would have thought her as crazy. And even in the comics, they've kind of changed her as a character. Cause they're like, maybe somebody who's advocating for the earth shouldn't be a bad guy.
Well, my favorite Batman villains tend to be the ones who, at the core, have a good point. They're just executing it like a villain.
Like Killmonger.
Kind you know, of. Right. Like, yeah. He wasn't wrong. He was just doing it wrong.
Right.
Right.
He murdered a bunch of people.
Right. But he had an interesting, fair point at the core of it when you strip his actions away, right? But with Ivy in this movie, anyway, like, when she first meets Bruce... Like, they just wrote her so ridiculous and over the top. There's mm-hmm. so many other ways that she could have handled things. Like, she could have agreed with him that, you know, the doctor was a nutcase and asked to have the research handed over to her. And then she could have actually made real change. Right. But instead, she's kind of crazy, just like he is, like mm-hmm. the doctor is, just in different ways. He wants to make a bunch of money. That's not her evil. Her evil is a different evil. Right.
And I think my biggest problem with her character is, like, for the most part, if you remove the puns and the weird jealousy that she has for other female characters, then you kind of have the Poison Ivy in the comics. Like, it's pretty good adaptation. So you add in the puns and you add in the fact that she just can't stand being around other women, and it dumbs down the character pretty quickly, which is shitty because, you know, Ivy's a big old les, guys. She loves women. Like, she...
What did you guys think of the whole Mr. Freeze, Poison Ivy kind of love interest thing that was going on?
Well, he never has interest
in her. No, but she does.
Yeah. I mean, that
it's
pairing
totally a power
never worked
trip
for me.
Thing.
The pairing doesn't make any sense because his powers literally kill what she's trying to create.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, it just... That pairing never made sense to me.
It's like
all.
She found the only other villain in Gotham. It's like, I've got to get this guy. You know, it doesn't make any sense.
It's just the writers. It's just a weird pairing. They basically went, what are the two most opposite Batman villains? Let's put them together on a team.
Right.
You know, and like that doesn't, it just doesn't make sense for me.
Like Two-Face and the Riddler was fine. That actually, you know, worked somewhat.
Well, the writers
kind
of did the exact same thing with Catwoman. They made her have awkward sex tension with Penguin and Christopher Walken's character. So I don't think that the writers on the movies really understood
but
women that well.
She's at least somewhat, well, so's Ivy, I guess, but at least Catwoman does use her feminine wiles. It, you know, that's part of a character.
They're both overtly sexualized. Yeah. Like, their outfits are very revealing or tight or promiscuous.
Well, and they, the way they are willing to use their femininity to further their whatever they're doing.
And I have zero problems with that. You know, the whole scene where they're auctioning off women, that's horrible, but
it's a little problematic.
The way Ivy turns the tables so where, like, she gets bid on and she's going to get all that money, it's pretty brilliant the way she does it.
And then we got one of the worst things in history.
The bat visa.
Yes.
Never leave home without it.
And then Robin going, I'll just borrow it from you. Okay. Or you just won't. It's so dumb.
Well, and, like, the whole thing, like, they're in front of a crowd, and, like, I mean, I guess people just assume Batman has money, but he's not supposed to be Bruce Wayne, right?
So it just says Batman on the card?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Is that what he hands to McDonald's when he goes through the drive-thru of Val Kilmer? Like,
well, I'm pretty sure there was a McDonald's commercial around that time where he did drive the Batmobile through.
Yeah.
That's probably true. Let's see, some other stuff. We talked a little bit about the new vehicles. You get the bat, like, ice skating bat wing, right? I mean, it's shaped like the bat wing, but it's on blades.
You also get Batman on ice skates.
That's and Robin thing. On
that
ice
are built
skates.
Into their boots, by the way,
they
at
just,
all times.
They literally knock their boots.
They do.
And skates.
Well, didn't that happen, if I remember right, that a villain did that earlier in the movie. Like, one of the thugs had skates pop out of their shoes.
Hmm. Oh, really? I didn't know.
Sorry. Yeah.
So they both get their shoes made at the same place? I mean,
apparently, yeah. They go to the same cobbler.
Like Melvin?
The same cobbler.
Yeah.
Vivica A. Fox's character's name is Ms. B. Haven.
Of course it is.
What's
what else
Coolio's
would it be?
Character's name?
Coolio.
Okay. That tracks.
I mean, there's not... I mean, I don't know what else there is really to touch on this. Arkham is fine. Like, it's just...
No,
a,
it's not.
I mean,
honestly,
I didn't even remember that there was... that Arkham was even referenced in this movie until I watched it again and saw that Freeze has Arkham written on the back of his jacket or his...
to be fair, I guess I just assume if there's a prison in a Batman movie, it's supposed to be Arkham.
Yeah,
you know.
Fair. Or Blackgate, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. No, Arkham's bad. Like, there's a reason why villains in Gotham go crazy, and it's because Arkham's so terrible. Like, abusive nurses and guards.
Oh, so you don't mean bad from a design standpoint.
No, like, I'm saying that I would also go insane if I was committed there. Like, the whole place was dirty, and every part of it was damp, even, like, the non-Mr. Freeze rooms. Like, I don't want to live in a damp location. I'm not a fucking spider.
Well, so at the end of the movie, Freeze gets his suit back in Arkham to torment Ivy. How did they work that deal out?
They're like, we're going to commit you, but for the rest of your time here... you get to be an asshole.
Well, I thought the guards, when they were, like, letting him die, kind of, I thought they were going to just let him die and then say that he killed himself.
Clever.
Very topical.
That never happens.
So this is kind of interesting. There's a scene that's not in the movie that I had convinced myself was in the film. And that was a scene at the end of the movie when Freeze is back in Arkham. I had it in my head that he had a room where it was cold all the time and he was doing his research with his wife in, like, a cryo freeze thing, like Bruce says in the observatory towards the end of the movie. In my head, I built that scene.
You had a Mandela effect?
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I totally built that scene.
Because you don't even believe in that and...
Well, that's different. That's not really the Mandela effect, but...
Isn't it only the Mandela effect if, like, a group of people believes it?
Yeah, a single person creating a fake memory is not...
Yeah, that sounds more like Derek has some sort of brain disease.
Like, as a 10-year-old, my brain, like, put together this scene and it wasn't actually in the movie, you know?
All right. Whatever.
I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, and then we get the very end with the three... bats running at the screen with the bat signal behind them for some reason.
And again, something that didn't age well, R. Kelly's on the soundtrack.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't have recognized that. But
I'd take Seal on the soundtrack any day over R. Kelly. Yeah.
Kiss from a Rose, man.
I do like the Batman theme that they use in these movies. I really do.
Well, is it still Danny Elfman at this point?
It is. Yeah. I still love that.
Because they just recycled it. So. Yeah.
So that's why I can't say it's like the best part of the movie because it's in all four of them. Right. But I still really like that theme. And then
I have it on my Spotify, so every now and then when I'm driving, I'm like, I'm Batman.
What was the song in the credits that was also in Watchmen?
Oh, the Smashing Pumpkins song.
Yeah, that was it. I thought that was weird.
Is it the same version?
Yeah.
Well, there are two versions of that song. Yeah. I don't remember.
I think Watchmen kind of slowed it
down
a bit.
It was a different version.
Slow jam.
I actually really love the Watchmen
version. End is the beginning, and the beginning is the end.
I just really like Smashing Pumpkins, so like I'm in. Yeah. All right, so what is your favorite pun?
I did not enjoy any pun from
you
this
don't
movie.
Like any of the lines, like not even for funsies.
They hurt.
Wow.
They just hurt to watch. This is a Batman movie. It's not supposed to be a comedy.
Derek.
It's hard for me to pick them because I do like puns and I like pretty much everything Freeze says in this movie. I do. He's my favorite part of the movie and I love all of them. The everybody chill, I just think it's hilarious. And he knew what he was doing. He knew it.
My favorite is when he blasts the Brontosaurus and he's like, what killed the dinosaurs?
Okay, so this was another problem I had with that first scene. So there's like, the camera literally shows him like charging up the gun and then blasting this, he starts the pun, what killed the dinosaurs? And then you get like 8 seconds of him shooting this thing. What were Batman and Robin doing this whole time?
Watching.
And then you see when the head falls down, Batman and Robin jump out of the way. It's like... Did you guys just stand there and wait to see what he was going to do?
There is a lot of very bad choreography.
Yes, it's terrible.
There's no question.
The fight
about
scenes
that.
Are so boring.
They're bad. They were really bad. Cringy for me to watch.
Yeah, they are bad.
Okay,
but, I mean,
so
I,
what's
I
the cringiest part for you then?
I think, as somebody who really enjoys martial arts movies, it's got to be that, like, there's a kick in the very beginning of the movie where Batman literally like soars with his legs out like this in a straight line for several seconds and he still hits Freeze and I'm like, man, is your brain operate extra slow because of the cold? Because there's no way that should have hit you.
What's the cringiest one for you?
I don't know about cringy. I think the way Ivy loses is the dumbest thing in the movie.
She
gets eaten by her plant that she was just laying in at the beginning of the scene, right? It's safe enough for her to literally lounge in with other people, but that's what that does her in the same scene.
See, mine's from like the exact same part. It's not quite
the
there.
Rubber lips.
Yes.
Oh yeah, those are pretty.
Those are pretty infamous.
Like,
yeah.
Rubber lips are immune to your charms. And then when she's like, curses, I'm like, oh god, kiss him right now when his mouth is exposed, kill
right?
him.
There's so many opportunities for the heroes and the villains to win,
right?
And they just didn't take them.
There's so many bad things. I mean, there's when they show Freeze the video clip of Ivy admitting that she killed his wife, but it's Ray. I never really thought about it, but Ray totally pointed out, like, it's actually just the shot. It's not like a different angle or anything.
It's like, it's crazy how it's the same vantage point.
Yeah. That was funny.
Chat is saying that I still like the movie. I'm having trouble admitting it. No, I will absolutely watch this movie. This is not my least favorite Batman film. There is another Batman film
and
that
we've
I would
talked about
rather
it.
Dark Knight Rises.
It is Dark
and
Knight
I am
Rises.
Not putting it on the bad movies list. Okay, so I've played a drinking game with this movie multiple times.
Every time there's a pun, you drink. Yeah, you would
you've
die.
You've watched it enough times as an adult to do that.
you play with six people and you each pick a character. You know, there's Alfred, Mr. Freeze, Poison Ivy, Batgirl, Robin, and Batman. And every time your character says a pun, you take a drink.
If you have a villain,
whoever
gets,
die. Yeah. I encourage the two who get the villains to drink a soft alcohol
or just water.
Yeah, no shots. But you can play that at home.
If
for
you get
funsies.
Alfred, you'll
he
be
really
like
do,
slightly buzzed.
Yeah,
and that's about
he doesn't
it.
Really do puns. He just has bad lines. Like, I'll cancel the pizzas. It's a terrible line, but it's not a pun. It's just a bad line.
But,
hurt,
you know,
right?
I have to say this disclaimer: if you do this drinking game and you die,
it's not our fault.
I did warn you. Yeah. Like, it's drinks responsibly.
Pick Alfred.
Don't do it.
21 and older, you know, all that good stuff.
Is there anything else you guys want to touch on? Is there anything we're forgetting that's worth pointing out? I can't really think of anything.
No.
There's a lot of little pet peeves I have for like some of the gadgets.
Yeah.
Like the bat heaters.
That they just keep on them. What's the purpose of this? What does it do outside of warm things up? Like, right. Do you use it on your microwave, like Mr. Hungry
really
Man meals
cold
or something?
Outside. It's just a hand warmer, guys. Like, come on.
I guess.
Or like, you know, so when Batgirl's falling off the observatory and Robin tries to catch her, she makes no attempt to save herself until Robin fails. And then she saves both of them just so she can have the line, right? I've got you, because he said it earlier, right? We have to flip it. But, like, that makes no sense.
I just really wanted them to kiss. I like when pretty people kiss, and they were very pretty.
Totally would have gotten together in the next one.
And they should have.
Totally would have.
Like, okay, do you guys ship Dick and Corey or Dick and Babs in the comics?
I'm a Dick Babs guy.
Yeah, me too.
I like Corey.
Yeah, you're big on big-breasted aliens.
No, I like that Dick was with her even after she got paralyzed. Yeah. And
that's a good story. You know, it is.
So.
And it kind of ruined it when the new Killing Joke had... Wow. Yeah. And yeah. In the animated series, it was implied that they broke up because she had an affair with Batman and got pregnant by him and then had an abortion.
Had a bat baby. Oh.
See, Corey is better. So Corey's just a bright, happy person and doesn't have any of that baggage. So
you haven't finished watching Titans yet, have
right,
you?
Like,
well, that's the new Corey.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Corey in that movie is not
that's
happy.
That's a different Corey. It's
bubbly
a new Corey. I'm talking previous gotcha. Corey. So
fair enough. Okay, so our next bad movie review is going to continue this kind of comic book 90s thing.
What movie are you going to force me to watch?
I'm not
going
to force anybody to watch something. I'm going to do a poll and Twitter will force you.
Oh God,
Twitter. We're going to choose between Steel, Blank Man, or Spawn.
I have Blank Man on DVD,
whoa, please pick that one.
Whoa.
I don't know that I want to sit here and listen to people trash Spawn.
I've never seen Blank Man,
so okay. I have no opinion on Blank Man.
Blank Man's fun.
I do like Blank Man, so if that gets picked, I will be really happy. And I do have it on DVD. I can prove that to all Twitter right. If they need to call me out on it.
Well, I'm going to put the poll up on Saturday. Our episode comes out on Thursday, so Saturday gives you a chance to listen, and you can put the poll up.
And that one will not be next week.
It's not going to be next
week. Yeah, we have the week off.
Next week, because of American Thanksgiving, we are taking the week off. We will be back the week after, December 3rd, I believe is the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you
can check. Day after our 5th anniversary as a show.
Ow, check out.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to end it now, okay? All right, here we go. I got this. You can follow us individually. Ryan at Buster Props, Derek at the Star Trek Dude, me at Siren Ray. All of us are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you want to follow the show individually, you can follow us at Screen Heroes Pod on Twitter. If you want to follow all the heroes podcasts, you can go to heroespodcast.com for a list of all the shows and where to find them on which podcast locations, things like Apple Music, Spreaker, Spotify.
Apple Podcasts. It's a different app now. It's not
my know.
Fault.
Apple Podcasts. Sorry, guys. I'm trying here. Just trying my best. And you can follow us on Patreon. We have updated content quite often on Patreon. You can give us a dollar or two. You can give us a dollar or two on coffee. We'll all send you our Cash Apps. Whatever, man. If you support us, you support
specifically
us.
Me. I'll send you my PayPal or my Cash App, and you
right
can just
now.
Send any of your Heroes podcast donations straight
right
to me.
If you watch the Twitch tonight, tell us who has the best Batman shirt.
I mean,
it's definitely me. Mine's a Batman made of Batman symbols.
I mean,
mine shows
guys.
Off my musculature, so I think that's an automatic win.
Mine has a corset in the back. I'm not going to show you because I don't lace it up.
So
ever.
That doesn't count.
It's not a shirt.
I'm showing my muscles, so.
All right.
And every Tuesday you can watch us on Twitch.
That's right.
All right, guys. We will catch you in 2 weeks. Bye.